So I made some attempts to, several attempts actually, to come up with a subject for you. It's like my head is like, brain is like a pinball, you know, bouncing all over the place here, trying to land on something. And so I did try several, and every time I'd get into it, by then it just sort of fizzled. It just kind of didn't amount to anything. And so I'm really having some serious dialogue, you know. I got to talk to you people, and so I began thinking of some of you, some that that I'm aware of in their trials, in the trials that you're going through are pretty severe. They've been with you a long time, and through that process, it took me back in my own memory, 10 years ago, where I was at that time, going with my wife through her cancer, and she died back then, where I was mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And then the words began to flow. So what I'm offering to you this afternoon will come across probably a little disjointed, but bear with me, because what I have to say, this message, is for everyone. Okay, so let's get started. You know, there are all kinds of ways to respond to afflictions, suffering, pain, and the trials in our life. And sometimes the simplest thing that we do right off is to fight it, we resist it and try to push it away because we don't want to have anything to do with it. And, but that, yet they're there, and so some of us just choose to, okay, well, that's the way it is, and we bear the results of it. And then, of course, there are those that who are good at whining and groaning and moaning and complaining about it. That's our humanity coming out. And that's what we do. But once in a while, we may come to a point when we may even understand what the Apostle Paul meant. And we may even respond the way he did. And that is with an understanding of God's purpose in allowing that affliction or pain or trial in our life. Now, I wonder which of those best describes the way we respond to the suffering and the heartache in our life. You know, I think that it's likely that all of us have heard from someone at some time that if you pray long enough, if you pray hard enough, if you could just believe enough, then God will change just about anything you got going, every circumstance of life. And that change depends on whether we have enough faith, or if we've done our due diligence in our prayer life. Well, you know, if you think about it, if that's true, then there's one verse that we're going to have to take a look at here this afternoon. And I want to look at it today because I believe this is one of the most important verses in the scripture. When it comes to dealing with the grace of God in how it relates to our pain and suffering and our heartache that we endure in life. Because you see, all of us are experiencing or will experience those things. Now, it might be physical pain, as, you know, some accident or whatever can be emotional because of a bad child life or loss of a loved one, loss of a job, financial difficulties. It can take a thousand different ways, but there are all kinds of causes for pain. But how does this grace of God, this goodness and graciousness of God, which he pours out toward us without any regard to our merit or our worth, you know, in spite of anything we deserve? What about this grace of God in our life in times of pain and suffering and heartache? You ever thought about it? And also, what about those things that don't seem to change? Where is the grace of God when things don't change? Where's the grace of God when you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've poured your heart out and nothing happens? When your friends pray for you and you've prayed and you've obeyed God and you've trusted him, where is he? Where's God? Well, that's a good question. Because you see, there are a lot of people in situations and circumstances, their circumstances don't seem to change. And they have prayed. And their friends have prayed. And they've done everything that they've known to do, and nothing has changed. What about this grace of God? Well, we're going to take a run at it this afternoon, and we're going to talk about it. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians 12, and it'll be verses 7 to 10, where we will find Paul's answer to this problem. And so again, what about our suffering? Our heartache and our difficulties and our pain when we prayed endlessly, and things just don't seem to change. And I'm sure that some of you here today are facing that same question. You're feeling that you've done everything you know to do and you're at your wit's end and nothing happens. I've been there. I'm familiar with that drill. But let's listen to what Apostle Paul says. Remember that God had been giving him some tremendous insights and revelations of truth, and Paul understood things that he'd never understood before, things that people before him never understood. And so he says, beginning in verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a measure of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of God may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" All right. Now, either Paul is giving us a snow job, or he knows something that most of us don't know. And of course, this unbelieving world would never understand. Now, here's a man, Paul, who says, "I'm content with such things as weaknesses and insults and persecutions and you name it, endless list." And he says, "I am just content in all those things." And we say, "What? Come on. How in the world can anybody be content in all of that?" Well, there are some things that we need to take into consideration and remember and to think about. Grace is God's answer to our pain and our afflictions and our suffering, when he may or he may not choose to change our circumstances. And God certainly doesn't make any a guarantee to change our circumstances, no matter how painful that they might be. So let's look at Paul again for just a moment here. God's word says, in describing Paul's situation, the nature of his pain was, as he called it, a thorn. Okay? If you were to look up the definition of the word thorn, it's described as a very debilitating affliction. A thorn is definitely not one of those things when you back into a rose bush, you know? Paul said that God allowed Satan to bring this affliction into his life. And again, while we don't know the full extent of the problem, we do know that it was a very troublesome thing for Paul. Now, let's keep in mind that Paul was God's choice servant for preaching God's word and the evangelizing the world of his day. And the scripture tells us that God allowed Satan to give him this thorn in the flesh. Again, we don't know what it was. But Paul would probably say to us, you know, one of the ways it came to him through Satan was that Satan would tempt him and needle him by saying things like, well, hey, Paul, if God loved you, and if he really called you to preach and do all these things you have to do, with all the hardship and difficulties you have to endure and suffer, why would God put this extra burden on you when you sometimes scarcely have the energy and the strength to do what you got to do? Why? If God loves you. Where is this God of yours, Paul? If this God of yours is a God of love and he really sent you out to preach, why would he burden you with something like that? And it's in spite of all your praying, that he won't take it away. Which was his way, Satan's way of tempting Paul, kind of needling him, just moving him in a way that Paul would get discouraged to you know, pack it in, to leave the ministry, and to do his own thing, to walk away, to doubt, and turn his back to God. And of course, we know that Paul wasn't about to do that. And it's more likely that he would chime in with Job and say something like that, even if God were to slay him, he wouldn't deny him or doubt him. But this is what Paul was faced with. And if we remember that he was traveling, back in those days, you walk or you ride maybe a beast of some kind, but he traveled from city to city. And basically, he had nothing. He was totally reliant on God, and God always took care of him. Now, Paul had a tremendous job to do, and so here on top of all that, that God would do such an unfair and unjust thing as to give him some kind of physical or emotional trauma in his life that he couldn't get free of. And then expect him to go out and do what God called him to do. How unfair of God. Haven't you ever heard somebody say, well, if God is a God of love, that's not fair. To what I would reply, who are we to tell God what's fair and unfair? You know? And so Paul began his ministry and lived with this kind of a problem, this physical problem. Now, sometimes God will respond to our prayers. Yeah. Sometimes he'll respond to our dedication and our acts of obedience. Sometimes he'll respond and change our circumstances as a result of our prayers. Yeah. Sometimes he will. Now, there are people that's going to tell you that All you have to do is name it and claim it, and God's going to do it. Now, again, just because God responds frequently to our request is no sign that he's going to do it all the time. So we have a right to say, now, wait a minute. Doesn't it say in Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you? Don't we have a right to expect God to change our circumstances, to take away our pain and our suffering, and to change our environment when things get so difficult that we just can't stand it anymore? He did say, ask. And does he not say in Hebrews 4 that we have ready access to the throne of grace? That in times of trouble, we can go to the throne of God and receive what we need when we're hurting. Then why shouldn't he change my circumstances when I go to him and ask him? Why would he allow me to suffer whatever it is, the pain and the angst that we have? Why does he keep it there? And besides that, when we think of how good God is, does he not say in James 5, for example, that if there's any sick among you, to call for the elders of the church for anointing? He's a loving God. All these scriptures seem to imply and declare that if things are not as they ought to be, well, just talk to God and he's going to fix them. And really, isn't that what we want? Have any of you been in a situation where you have prayed, and the response was dead silence? Nothing changed. Yeah. You know, it's interesting that when we are, you know, we're feeling pretty good, so that we sit down and have an evening where we can open up scriptures and certain passages that you like particularly, and we can read this passage when we're feeling good, and really, it's empowering. It's like you can feel God's presence there with you. It's really a marvelous, tremendous experience. But if you're in the middle of some pain, suffering or heartache, and you open up the book and to the same passage, you know what happens? It's not quite so simple. You see, it's real simple to read this when everything is going your way, but when you're hurting badly and your circumstances appear to be impossible, and you read this passage, somehow the encouragement and joy just doesn't leap off the page, does it? It just sort of falls flat. Paul had this pain in his side that he took to God three times. And we know what happened, don't we? Well, sometimes God will change our circumstances, but you know what? Sometimes he won't. And I can just hear some thinking, now, whoa, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. What about all these scriptures that we just got through talking about? What do you mean that sometimes he won't change my circumstances, you know, and answer my prayers? What kind of God is this? Does he make a promise over here and keep it over here, and then he falls flat over here? What kind of a God is this that makes all these promises and then doesn't come through to change my circumstances? Well, we're going to talk about that because that's reality. And let's understand something here. If anybody has told you that God will always change your circumstances and will always heal you and always make better things better in answer to your prayers, they didn't tell you the truth. Some have said, and they believe, that if you pray enough, if you have faith enough, and so forth, that your prayers would be answered. And that's not the case at all, and some of you know what I'm talking about. It's not that we're not hurting, or that our faith is weak, or that we're not obedient enough, or that we haven't prayed enough, hard enough. It isn't that we don't love God, or that we're not sincere. That's not the reason. And from what I just said, your response might be, well, if all that is true, would you kindly tell me what the reason is? After all, he made all these promises, and now you're telling me that he won't always change my circumstances. Yep, I do believe that is just what I said. Now, when I look at that passage in 2 Corinthians 12, I have to ask myself this question. What determines whether God will change my circumstances or not? One simple thing. The determining factor is God's purpose in allowing the pain and suffering and heartache and the trials in our lives. And again, what's his purpose? Well, look at the life of Paul. Amazing man. He said that he had prayed to God 3 times to be relieved of that trial, that pain, that infliction, whatever it was. For God, please, God, remove it. And he said that somehow God didn't. God didn't remove it. Now, here was a man that had some pretty awesome responsibilities, and, you know, human reasoning, you'd think that it would only be right and fair of God to heal him. That God didn't. And I don't think any of us will find a scripture that says that God removed this thorn from Paul's life. And so here was Paul, a faithful man, dedicated to serving God, traveling all over his part of the world, preaching, and in the process of being beaten and persecuted, thrown in prison, and a few other very difficult things. Paul literally gave everything that he had. And God did not remove the thorn. And why? Why? Because God's purpose for Paul was far greater than Paul being comfortable. Paul said the reason the thorn wasn't removed was to keep him humble. And so this kind of went through my head, and I'll give you what my thought was. And so when we hear Paul saying that, and then we say, well, listen, if God just tells me to get humble, I will. I mean, come on, God doesn't have to send me all of those nasty things to get me humble. I mean, he wants humble, he's got it, you know, that's it. Well, that might be our thinking, but you know what? What was it that God said to Paul? God said to Paul, this is to keep you from exalting yourself, because if you exalt yourself, Paul, you're going to ruin the big purpose of your life. You'll become prideful, egotistical about what I've shown you, and you'll start running around like a know-it-all. Well, Paul, if I don't keep you on your face, if I don't keep you humble, if I don't keep you on your knees, if I don't keep you weak, if I don't keep you absolutely, totally dependent on me, you're going to blow this whole thing, Paul. And my purpose is far greater than your life. Wow. Think of that. Think of what we'd have missed. Now, here we are, 2,000 or so years later, and what are we doing? It's in your book. We're reading the history of Paul. We're reading his letters. We're learning about God, discovering who he is and gaining insight, encouragement, strength, and insight through Paul's life and his writings. This is the same man who said, "Therefore, I am content." Well, let's take a look at what he says at Philippians 3, verse 7 to 8. Paul is saying here that what he had learned about Christ and what he was learning about Christ, that there was nothing that could be possibly compared to that. He says thorns, stakes, hardships, well, again, you name it, nothing is compared to that. He was saying that there was something far more valuable to him than God changing his circumstances. Now, how many times have you and I gone to God with a great request and needing an answer? I think many of us have been there. And God generally answers in three ways. We've heard that before. Yes, no, wait. Yeah. He can say yes. And he can say no. He can say wait. But then he can answer with what he told Paul. And I think you're already ahead of me on that one. He told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Paul, I will be your sufficiency. And he didn't say that he wouldn't answer, and he didn't say that he would, and he didn't say that somewhere down the road that he would take care of it. All he said was, "Is my grace is sufficient." Do you suppose that this is what God is trying to get across to us in those circumstances in which we find ourselves, circumstances that we so desperately want to get rid of and for God to change? Could it be that he has something better in mind for us than changing our circumstances? No, I'm aware that somebody might say, "Well, come on, Anderson, don't give me all that stuff about being content when I'm hurting." And I get it. I understand that. But back at you, let me ask you this. Do you think that one bad trial or bad circumstance is the only one you're going to get in this life? Like we're going to suffer only one time in our life and that's it? I think all of us are smart enough to realize that pain, trials, and suffering are all a part of our everyday living. It's that type of crappy world that we live in, you know? And this world is getting worse. Do you think that the only way for God to deal with this is to remove these trials every single time? You know, there may be some situations in which God knows that it's better for us to remain in that situation for a while. That illness and that pain, whatever it is, financial, you name it, in order that he can accomplish what he desires for our life. And that was true for Paul. Are we better than Paul? We've already mentioned those people who believe that all you have to do is ask and bingo, is a done deal. Really? God is obligated to answer our prayers. You know, that's what I understand. You know, that's right. Yes, no, wait. And this isn't what we want. We want now. We want God to get in there right now. Remove it. Fix it. Make it all better. We think that if God would do such and such that it'll strengthen our faith. Or that when we actually see God changing our circumstances, it'll strengthen our faith. You think? How about this? Won't this strengthen your faith even more? That God would enable us, strengthen us, live on the inside of us with overflowing love, grace and goodness, mercy and power, and that while our circumstances don't change, and in fact they could even get a whole lot worse, and yet somehow, through all this, there is this awesome sense of indescribable peace and calm. Which is the greatest lesson? What's the greatest reward? Which is the greatest answer to our prayers? Does God have to remove something in order for us to be at peace? Or that God be something within us so that the things that steal our peace can steal it no longer? What's better? A lesson learned in that fashion, or that God has to change everything in order for us to be happy? What Paul says is that God didn't say, yes, no, wait. God just said, Paul, the way I'm going to express it in you and through you, my grace is sufficient no matter what you're going to have to face in life. Now what God is saying to us is that his purpose for his, excuse me, he's saying to us that his purpose for our life may require that our trial, our circumstance, remain there for a short period of time, or maybe even a longer period of time. Here's a question. It isn't a matter of whether God has the power to remove it. That's not the issue. The issue is this. Do we love him enough? Do we want his will more than our own comfort and pleasure? Are we able and willing to say, with Paul, yes, I can rejoice even in the trials and the illness and the heartache? Now, I know that some people have learned this lesson. And there are those that moan and groan and complain that God just isn't fair, and why doesn't he tend to our needs? And all the time, he's doing just that. Now, again, think about this. Do you know what he's doing? He's teaching us to rest in His grace. And how is He going to do that if He's going to remove every discomfort? He does that, we'll never learn it. We need to ask ourselves this question. Which is the greatest demonstration of God's power? To change something around us? Some physical or financial situation? To change things such as that, or to work in our heart? To strengthen the new man within us? To release within us His own life, that while our circumstances don't change, that we can rise above them and we can rejoice in that and experience peace. That's the greatest demonstration of God's power. Paul says that this is what he learned. And in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul makes the statement again, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." His strength was Jesus Christ. And now we can, in Scripture, we can look at other personalities that God used at different times. God used the circumstances of those people. David, for example, you take a look, we know his history, everything that been recorded for us to look at, and he had hardships that were just staggering. We know what he went through. And when we read in the book of Psalms, we're inspired by them. God used these men, and they suffered greatly. Okay, then how about us? Just how much are we willing to suffer for God's sake and for the sake of other people? How much hurt will we take on? How much will we endure if we knew that our hurt would bring healing to somebody else? What are we willing to endure if we knew that it would be used to strengthen someone's walk with Christ? Think about it. Isn't the truth of the matter that we tend to be a little selfish? Oh, we'll pray for someone, for their healing, for their needs to be met, but just leave me out of that pain part. I don't want to have any part to do with that. But God says, no, that isn't the way it works. He says, when I want to accomplish some things in your life, you're going to have to hurt. You're going to have to feel some pain, maybe even bleed a little. And you will have your thorn. How long will that last? Nobody knows but God. And you know what? All of the attempts to pull the thorn that God allows in our life only makes the pain worse. Now, again, it's natural that we try to finagle or manipulate our way out of something that God has designed for our life, but He designed it for a higher purpose that is higher than ours. Another human thing that we do is, and we run into problems with this, is when we compare ourselves with others, thinking that they have it so much better than we do. Just remember that when we come here on the Sabbath, we're wearing our happy face. And we can fool a lot of people And there are some yet that feel absolutely devastated on the inside. The truth of the whole matter is, people, that everybody has hurts. Now, I know some people didn't deny this, others admit it, but the fact is everybody hurts. All of us will have trials of varied description, and never knowing the reasons why, and we may never know the reasons why in this life, but we don't have to. We only have to know to respond and to know that if God is allowing trials in our life, that God has a purpose, and that purpose has to be fantastic. Why? Because God is a good God. And to know this, and the only way a holy, righteous God treats his kids, children, is lovingly. What's more than what we feel is what we know. You know, feelings, well, they come and go. But what we know here and here is solid like rock. It keeps us hanging tough when things begin to unravel and we begin to think that we just can't go any further. But God says, oh, yes, we can. And we will, because he says that he is our energy and our strength. He is our wisdom, and that his grace is sufficient. Sufficient for what? One word. Everything. The grace of God is sufficient for virtually everything. There's not a single thing that you and I could ever need that the grace of God has not provided. God's love, his kindness, his mercy toward us, ready and willing, able, if we would just take advantage of it and draw it in. One thing for sure, we'll never learn just how great the love and grace of God is until we hurt enough. When we walk in the grace of God, we allow Christ to live within us to express his power and his love and his goodness. And whatever comes, we can't lose when we invite Christ to come in. There's nothing, and I mean nothing, that Satan can do or send our way that can move us one step out of the grace of God. One of our human failings is to believe that we can only be happy and content when our lives are free of those things. And that's a human way of thinking. You know, when we think that way, it just doesn't seem sensible or rational any other way. To say that trials and heartache can be compatible with contentment. But do you know why it is? Because the Christ that lives inside of us is greater than all that. And when he is allowed, to live his life through us, there is no trial, no pain, no heartache that will do us in, because in and through God's grace, we will endure it. Not whining, but winning, no matter how intense the pain may be. We're going to hang tough. Now, Paul knew something when he said that God said to him, my grace is sufficient. How do we describe the source of that contentment? It's Christ. As we allow him to live in us, how do we get there? How do we get it? To love and trust him implicitly with our life. All of Paul's preaching and teaching can be wrapped up in two words: in Christ. Paul said that he learned something better than God changing his circumstances. He said, "I learned that Christ who lives within me is greater than not only these bad circumstances, but any of those that might be coming in my direction." And I know there might be someone here who would say something like, "Well, Carl, you just don't realize how severe my situation is." It's true. You haven't shared that part of your life with me, but all of us must come to realize this. And I believe this, that God is up to something big in your life when he allows the trial to remain, but the grace of God to supersede it. Enough said.